Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insight into the commandments of God and the hearts of men helped people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continue to prayer to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, and there were a number of others, you remember, 7 of them. Now I want you to notice this and how natural it all seems, and yet how supernatural it was. Up till this time, there seemed to be no trouble. See? Everything was going fine. Everybody getting along well. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord in one place. The Holy Ghost came down upon them. No divisions. They were agreed about something. They were expecting the same blessing. They believed the same promises of God. It was a united crowd. They went along in this business, and Peter and John went to the temple to pray. And miraculous things took place. There's nothing said about discord. Now we move into the 6th chapter, and the church was growing, see, getting a lot of members. Things were spreading out. They had the Grecians and the Hebrews. So trouble developed. How modern that seems. Reads like current literature. Divisions come along. Somebody says that, well, we are not being treated right. We're being neglected. Now, probably they were right about this. It might not have been intentional at all. Or it might have been that the advantages were given to one group. I'm not saying. We're all human. They were human. Peter was human. John was human. All of them were human. But it's just like our day, see. But what did they do with the thing when it came up? They settled it. Now, if they had a clear Bible like we have, and the Word of God had been finished, they would look to the Word of God for a method to handle the situation. Now, God puts in the Bible all you need to know as you go along the way of life about how to meet the problems. But if there's something comes up, there's a question about, he tells you how to know. All right? I know it's God's will to forgive sin. I don't have any trouble about that. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if I've sinned, I know the Bible says he forgives if I ask him and repent. So I say, oh God, I'm sorry. Forgive my sins. See? I have his word for that. All right? I go along and I come sometimes where the road parts, and I don't know exactly which way to go, maybe, what to do exactly. Well, what do? I ask God for wisdom and guidance, and if I have faith, he'll guide me. For instance, I may have a loved one that's ill, and maybe this loved one is in pretty condition. The doctor says he doesn't know whether he can get well or not, and I go in the closet and shut the door. I'm not sure about the will of God in a matter of that kind. And I say, oh God, I want my loved one to live, and I go to pray, and now, Lord, hear my prayer. And the Bible says the Spirit himself making intercessions for us. See? Have you ever prayed for something that you started out, you didn't know exactly what the will of God was, and yet somehow you got assurance about it? Well, you do that sometimes. But if you can find the Bible what to do, just look in the Bible. So here they were. Now, they were up against it. They didn't have the New Testament. New Testament hadn't been written. They were the voice of God, these men. They were anointed of God to do a work. The Holy Ghost had come down upon them. The New Testament was being written under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was guiding these men. Holy Spirit hasn't a tongue like Peter had and John had. The Holy Ghost didn't speak out and say to this poor cripple at the gate, stand up. He gave Peter the power to raise him. And Holy Ghost used Peter's tongue to say what had to be said. On day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down in cloven tongues of fire. But he didn't stand up and speak. Peter preached the sermon under the power and direction of the Holy Ghost. But now, what an advantage we have. All those signs, those wonderful things that took place, that they had joy, things that we've never seen, and things we're not supposed to see, because we have a Bible. Now, whenever a problem comes up, we go to the Bible. When a question comes up, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about it? Go look in the Word of God. I have never come to a time in life where I had a problem to meet, any kind, business, any other kind. But what I can find in the Word of God, something, somewhere, that will give me a clue to what I ought to do. Now, here they were. They said, now, we'll do something about it. We are busy preaching. We haven't time to run down all these little details. We're under pressure, you know. We get in jail once in a while, get beat up once in a while. But we don't want to stop praying and preaching. We are the apostles called. We have a special job to do. So we said, let's get in a group of men here and get this thing straightened out. See? It ought to be attended to. So they came together. They prayed, of course. And they got 7 men and put them to doing the job. Now, whenever you want to solve any problem and solve it for the glory of God, there's always a way. Let me tell you, man, don't let people fool you. I've learned so many things along the road of life about people. And sometimes folks come along and talk very, very pious, you know, about things. It's mighty hard to know sometimes what your ambition is. Whether your ambition is for the glory of God. I've heard people say, I'm doing it for the glory of God. And I didn't want to think differently, you know. But I knew if they knew the Word of God, they ought to know better. Now, sometimes they didn't know the Word of God. Sometimes people talk about the glory of God that if they just would look into the Bible, they'd know it would be for the glory of God. But these folks didn't have a Bible. At least they had the Old Testament, which is God's Word, but not the New Testament. The detailed direction of their lives were not given here. So they prayed, and they put them into work. Now, anything that ought to be done can always be done by unselfish Christian people. If it ought to be done, it can be done. Spiritual things cannot be done by sinful man. Spiritual programs cannot be put over by men who are not spiritual. Now, God may overrule sometimes, may make the wrath of men to praise Him. He does that sometimes. But you can't carry on God's work except by a spiritual means. So they prayed. You know, I've had people ask me to pray for things that I didn't pray for, I couldn't pray for. I can't ask God to bless something that I know is contrary to His will. I can't even pray for a revival that's sponsored by men that don't believe in the virgin birth and the blood atonement and the bodily resurrection, where they sponsor it on the same basis as a man who believes those things do. I can't pray for that revival. I can't ask God to bless it because I'm praying against the Word of God. But I can pray for God to overrule, see, to overrule and make the wrath of men to praise Him. Now, He does that sometimes. The God of the universe sometimes overrules and makes the wrath of men to praise Him. That happened in the early church. It's happening in these days. When these men were working for God, it happened then. They were men of God, anointed of God, led of the Holy Spirit. And they went out and they were persecuted. Very persecution itself was. Sometimes God hitched to the chariot and pulled those men along the roads where they wouldn't have traveled. You see, there's a sense in which even the devil becomes a servant of God sometimes. I don't know how God does it. I don't try to explain it. It's out of my realm. But the Word says He makes the wrath of men to praise Him. If the early church hadn't been persecuted, the folks might have hung around Jerusalem and settled down. They might have thrown up some breastworks and might sit down and take it easy. But they couldn't take it easy. Somebody was after them all the time. And as they ran, they preached and they spread Christianity. God may make the wrath of men to praise Him. But they prayed to know the will of God, what to do. They didn't have the New Testament. It hadn't been written. But they had it in their hearts, and God led them later to write it. So here they were, and they said, well, now, this is a practical proposition. It was a very sensible thing. You know, you don't ask God to do what somebody can do with a little practical judgment. You ask God to help you do it. You don't ask God to reach in your pocket and get out some money and give it to the Lord when you've got a hand and a pocket and some money in it. You just ask God to give you a willing heart, see, to do the practical thing. So these people here said, well, now we've got to have this attended to. We mustn't have any trouble in our crowd. So they said, we'll get these people to do it. But now, what kind of man you want? Spiritual man. Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You don't just go out and get a man to help you out some business in your church just because he's a big businessman. Get a spiritual businessman. A man cannot be an asset to a church as a layman without a spiritual understanding. A spiritual layman on a board is just as essential to a spiritual church as a spiritual preacher in the pulpit. A spiritual preacher in the pulpit cannot run a spiritual church with a board of deacons or elders or stewards or trustees or vestrymen who are not spiritual, with no spiritual apprehension whatsoever. Now, that's what's the matter with us today. We put on our boards in churches, sometimes Sunday school teachers and people like that, that have no spiritual understanding. And we put in the pulpits of this country preachers that will go ahead and preach that don't have any spiritual understanding. And may God help us people that call ourselves Christians to be spiritual Christians. And if we are spiritual Christians, we will not go contrary to the Word of God. We'll stand for the Word of God, because that's where we go to find out what God wants us to do in every crisis in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, take us and lead us and guide us and give us wisdom, and use us for Thy glory, and keep us faithful in all things. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors of the faith. If you're interested in an educational institution that stands without apology for the old-time religion and the absolute authority of the Bible, which emphasizes the fundamentals of the Christian faith and has high academic standards, write to the Director of Admissions, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.